Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. Sales European adventure for this year kicked off with a 28-5 victory over Stade Francais on Sunday afternoon in what made for a nice return to winning ways. Because we won, I'm back on the pod this week. My name is Lewis and I'm joined by Alex and James, who I think did a very admirable job in my absence making 30 minutes of content about that shocking performance at Quins. But we won't talk about that. Alex, we're back in the win column. How are you feeling?
Yeah, back in the win column. Very good, mate. It was a frustrating first half, I think. And I was thinking, this pod might not be that good of the way we're going. But then we just sort of pulled away second half, didn't we? And, I think it was a pretty dominant performance overall. So feeling pretty happy with that. We've got, like you say, a win under the belt, which it might be our last one in this competition, looking at who else we've got to play, but that's fine. So we've not disgraced ourselves, and I think it was definitely an improvement on the last few weeks as well. So, yeah, overall, can't be too unhappy. I mean, I would have liked a 50-3 victory, but, you take what you can get when you're playing like this. So, yeah, a steady 8 out of 10, I'd say. How are you?
Yeah, I mean, look, beating anyone in Europe is an accomplishment. We can't forget that. Good weekend for the Premiership. 7 out of 8 wins, which is, I think, fair to say, a bit of a surprise, given kind of where the top 14 in the URC have been the last couple of years. But as long as we're not the one Premiership team not getting a win, that's half the battle. Even if we do get tonked by Leinster away next weekend. Anyway, we're cutting ahead, James. How are you feeling?
Really good. I mean, you're clearly the fair weather fan here. Alex and I rolled ourselves out last week to talk about such an abject performance. And we mentioned on the pod that we needed a response because otherwise we might get into a bit of a death spiral. And George Ford mentioned it in his post-match interview that the squad really felt that they had to, do that. Made that response. Ben Curry mentioned it in his response in the post-match interview as well, saying that they owed it to the fans, which I thought was just like really good. They've clearly taken that energy into the dressing room. And I think it's come out on the pitch. I thought the scoreline, it didn't flatter us. Like I thought we did labour in parts, but we could have won by considerably more had maybe the confidence being there and that red line execution being there from a confident team. So I'm really, really pleased with the performance, actually. And, wins a win in Europe. Stade Francais are going to be right up there in the top 14 this year. They've got some classy players. They had rotated a few. But it means that we take momentum into the competition. And in our group, La Rochelle and Stade, as it stands today, don't have that. So we are an advantage in a very tough group.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying Stade Francais second in the top 14 at the moment. I mean, you can maybe see, a hint of that strong domestic form in the fact that they opted to rotate the team, relatively significantly. I think there's 13 changes in their 23 from the team that had won at Toulon the week before. Something along those lines. But even so, this is still a team that can spend $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million or euros a year versus what Sale can put out. And I think the fact that not only did we win, but to your point, James, we won handedly in a way that certainly didn't flatter us, given how well we control possession and territory, is a massive plus. As is the fact that we actually had to ride a bit of turbulence to start the game, losing Dan Dupria and Nick Schoner, so early on in the game. And going to get right to it. Shout out Asher for basically a 75-minute performance. What a way to, make your European debut. So, Alex, where do we start with this one? Because we've kind of touched upon it. Sale, I think, managed the ball very well. We were up 60-40 in terms of territory. No possession numbers. They're not available on the Champions Cup website for some reason. But, just from any casual observer, you could see that we sort of dominated. We did dominate territory. We did dominate possession. We were in the Stade 22 more often than not. And although we were maybe lacking some executional sharpness, it did feel like we had this game in our grasp, even with those early injuries, didn't it?
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I think we saw when Stade scored that they clearly can break us open. But that came from one mistake, which was a slip by Tom Roebuck. There's not really much you can do about that. A slip in defence, it's not like a bad read or a missed tackle or whatever. So I think other than that, Stade really didn't threaten us. And we saw that our defence was able to keep them out pretty handedly. I think the Jackal threat of Creevy when he came on was really important in being able to slow their ball down when needed or turn them over. We had a lot of turnovers, I think. And then in attack, it took a long time to get going. And I think you can see we're trying stuff and it's nearly coming off. I foolishly watched this on TNT Sports rather than ITV, and TNT do not like us. Do not like the fact that we try kicks. You know, there is a beautiful kick into the 22 from Sam James that went behind the winger. He ran out. It nearly resulted in a try. It nearly resulted in a scrum towards. It ended up being a dropout to them. But really good. Turn the defence. You know, the last thing they saw coming, Roebuck coming through on the chase. I just thought it was a really good bit of play, a really cute bit of play to unlock a defence, to find a way to unlock a top-level European defence. But what Lawrence Dallaglio and co wants to do is just score tries for fun against, you know, a team who is right up there in the top 14. So I thought those little kicks and that sort of thing were actually, you know, not necessarily well executed, but they showed an inventiveness and I think a strength to our game when you've got Roebuck and O'Flaherty on the wings. They're good kick chasers. So I thought we were trying hard in the first half and it just wasn't coming off. You know, you look at that one, I talked about the example. It comes off Dugdale's boot, they ground it over the line. It could have been us that ground it over the line. It's, you know, hair's width away from us scoring a try. There's quite a lot of times like that in the first half where I thought, you know, we are a pass away from scoring a try here. The Joe Carpenter finish, massively unlucky. I would have awarded it just for, you know, the love of the game and the effort and the dive, but I can understand that strictly according to the laws, it wasn't a try, which is a shame. So, you know, we were nearly there. And then you saw in the second half, we really broke out and started to pull away. I think had we maybe kept George Ford on, we might have got the bonus point. I completely understand why we brought Tom Curtis on and you know, want to try and bed him in. And it's a really good opportunity this game for him to get some minutes under his belt. I just think it spoiled the kind of flow that we got into because it had taken Ford. Once you got Ford and Quirk on the pitch and, you know, in sync, you could see the attack was starting to play a bit better. And then it was sort of, right, okay, we have to start again now and build this Quirk-Curtis partnership. So I think, you know, we were pretty close to a bonus point. The kick at the end from Curtis I thought was really good. I'm not sure why O'Flaherty tried to absolutely leather it into the top corner. I think he maybe couldn't have made it. I'm being very harsh on him there. I did worry he'd pull his hammy as he tried to, you know, boot it to the other end of the field. But overall, what I think I'm getting to is, you know, we put a lot of effort in and a section of the game, it did start coming off and you saw that we can be really clinical when we need to be. I think the Johnny Hill try is a great example of that, you know, Rafi just sniping and seeing a gap. So it's definitely there. It's just you could see in that first half why we struggled so much, say, against Bath at home, because I think we were just labouring a bit and it wasn't quite coming off. But it will get there and you can see it's coming. And I think we definitely deserve the win. We probably deserve the bonus point, but our execution didn't deserve the bonus point. And that will come back, I think. And it's positive to see, at least, that it did come back for a period of the game. We just need it over 80 minutes now.
You've already mentioned the Joe Carpenter knock on over the line. It's good effort, bit of a 50-50. Tom Roebuck had a really good opportunity where the kick goes through. He's behind the defensive line. He opts to kind of kick it forward. And this is at the end of the first half for those following along at home. Instead of sort of picking it up, albeit at his shins, you know, he goes for the kick and he kicks it dead. You know, there's two tries which are probably 50-50s. You get one of those. We got zero on the day. There's your try bonus point. I did like the fact you spotlighted the Rafi Quirk sort of moment I was going to say brilliance. I don't want to overstate it, but just a really nice heads up play from a player that we've not seen that much of. You know, this year he's been injured and been obviously, you know, falling down the pecking order behind Gus Wall, but really smart play to isolate the star player on the wing, create an easy 2-on-1. It's a really simple try. And it's the sort of thing that really good scrum halves do with regularity and make the game look very, very simple. It's good to see that. It's good to see Tom Curtis, you know, come on and, you know, kick his goals. And obviously, as we've already mentioned, 75 minutes from Asher. Obviously, Ross Harrison plays 65 minutes after Simon McIntyre goes off. Josh Beaumont gets basically a full 80. You know, we'll come on to three-word reviews in a second, but I thought you kind of saw everyone to a man stand up, you know, really, really nicely today. And obviously, it's good to see Manu Tuilagi back in a Sale shirt. Before we do three-word reviews, though, James, you know, quick thoughts from the game. What kind of stood out from your perspective?
I thought the most pleasing thing for me was the way we kind of stretched our squad. We talked, you know, a lot about the stud rotations for this game, but this tested our squad. You know, Josh Beaumont back at 8. He hasn't played there in a long time. Had a fantastic game, I thought. You know, somebody in his 30s with the amount of leg injuries that he's had. You know, I thought he was an extra, you know, obviously line-out man, which is very important. You know, and then as Dan Dupree is, and then sort of mobility around the park. When you lose props early in games, a la 2019 Rugby World Cup final, things don't tend to go too well for teams in the modern era because of the way that you sort of use your super subs from 50, 60, 70 minutes. So I thought that really stood up incredibly well. It's probably one part of the reason why, you know, we brought Augustin Creevy on maybe a little bit earlier than expected, you know, who continues to be the signing of the season so far. I mean, he's, you know, even at 38, you can see the muscle memory is there from being one of the world's best players, probably in my view, probably been under the radar. But just going back to the point around the stretch squad, it's not just about the props and Josh Beaumont, you know, it's starting Ben Bamba. And, you know, taking this competition as an opportunity to say, right, actually, we're going to pick one or two players in our first team and we're going to see if that's a drop-off. Because normally what happens is Ben Bamba's rotated in at the same time as like eight other changes or whatever it might be. And maybe it's not a complete fair reflection on the lad. So I really like the fact that the coaching setup did this because we did need a refresh. You know, there was this, Alexander's made a big thing to say, well, the Premiership's a sprint this year, so we're not going to do massive amounts of rotation. We're just going to pick our best team that we can put out every week and try and win every game, which I completely understand that logic. But over the last 3 to 4 games, we've been sort of, well, certainly 3 games, we've been stuck in a bit of a rut, honestly, certainly from a fluidity perspective and a physicality perspective. So you need competition within the squad to put some people's ideas up, bring that freshness, bring that sort of eagerness to win and keenness to prove yourself, maybe not carrying any damage from any poor performances before. I thought that was excellent. And once again, what Sanderson has been doing this year is actually making substitutions, bringing on academy lads when the game isn't won. We did it against Newcastle a few weeks ago, where we brought on a load of the academy lads when the game wasn't won at all and they won us the game, or were part of winning us the game. And bringing on the likes of Tom Curtis for George Ford at 60 minutes or whatever it was, when it was 14-5 then? So you'd think we probably had done enough, but, you know, they're certainly taking that decision on the risk end of the scale. Yeah, certainly if it had been 5-5, I doubt it would have happened, but 14-5, the game is not done. And so fair play to the coaching staff. They're putting a lot of faith into the squad. I think that will boost confidence. It will boost competition. And that was the biggest takeaway from me. And I thought we saw it as well with the likes of Manu coming back. The energy that the rotation that we did make brought into the team was definitely worth any possible trade-off that we might have had in a sort of reduction in sort of quality on our first choice picks.
Let's do some three-word reviews then, because I think some of the themes we're talking about are already coming up. Michael Graham, gentle rotation prevails. I think gentle rotation is a really nice way of putting it. Simon Holman, Asher de Triomphe, very, very clever, very droll. Rugby Marvel, extend Asher's contract. I mean, yeah, what a showing from him. You know, sort of just, I don't know about you guys, but feels like he really sort of came out of nowhere this year. We were expecting a big year from James Harper, and right now, it's all about Asher in that tight head position. Joe Cliff, fastball game changer. Taylor, 13s at 13. Another good showing for Sam James. No shock there. John Capel, shocking pink defeat. And Smallsy, second half, clinical. I guess, Alex, from your perspective, you've already mentioned second half, where you really started to pull away. What was the key factor from your perspective? You know, was it a case of we'd got to a narrow lead, you know, we extended it so we were 9-5. Was it a case of heads dropping from Stad's perspective, or is it just a case of, yeah, that squad depth that we've really started to build up coming to the fore?
Yeah, I think we really worked Stad down and sort of broke them down, really. I think that second half was definitely a reward for the amount of effort we put in the first half. And I know people say we huffed and puffed. I think I did afterwards, actually, after the game. But that huff and puff in the first half did then count in the second half, because you had a Stad team who were tired, who'd been defending all game, who'd been, you know, they've been putting in big hits, and we were wearing the hits, and it's great for the highlight reel when you see, you know, George Ford getting mashed and whoever else getting mashed as they try and, you know, make their mark on the game. But you can't do that for a full half and then come out for the second half and do it again. It's just not the way rugby works. And I think that's what we saw in that game, that by the time we kind of got to the second half, Stad were definitely tiring. So I think there's an element of that, sort of earning our look in the second half. And then I think Rafi changed the game when he came on, changed the pace of the game. And that's a really positive thing for us as a club, because we've got such good balance between those scrum halves of, you know, the sort of tactical kicking accuracy and game management of Gus War against when a game needs that little spark. Rafi is the spark. And, you know, you see that it was probably just that extra half a second of pace, like slightly quicker ball, that it doesn't come off all the time. And it wouldn't have come off in the first half, because Stad were too up for it and too quick off the line. So if Rafi had been trying stuff, and listen, I think you saw as well that his pass, you know, Gus Ward's passing is absolutely outstanding. And a couple of Rafi's passes, they get to the man, but they, you know, might go a bit up or a bit behind or whatever. There's Johnny Hill one just before the Sam James try, or O'Flaherty try, I think it is, where he sort of catches it a bit behind his head. And the thing is, in that second half, that didn't matter, because the pace of the ball, and because Stad were tired and they weren't getting off the line like they were in the first half, you can afford that. Whereas if he'd been doing that from minute one, Stad would have been up in the faces and smashing people and putting them back, and you're not getting that momentum. So I think the timing of the Rafi substitution worked really, really well. Don't know whether it's intentional or not, but I think we effectively, and this sounds so rude really to Gus War, and I don't mean it in this way, but we ground them down with Gus War and then we hit them with Rafi, and they just kind of go, I don't have the energy to keep up with the pace this guy's playing at. And I think that was a real big key for me, because I think that then unleashed George Ford a bit. I think it brought George Ford a bit close to the line, because he was playing so deep in the first half. And, you know, we then started to earn the kind of rewards that I think our play had been justified, but it just meant that when you play at pace, you see it with Quinns a lot of the time, Northampton on Friday night, a really good example of this. When you play at pace, you don't have to get everything exactly right. You will still score tries. When you play a slightly steadier kind of, right, let's see who's available, pass it, you know, it can still work, and it has still worked for us at times, but you have to get everything bob on, and the opposition have to not be as kind of up and at you and playing as well defensively as Stad. Well, don't forget, Stad are coached by Paul Gustard. He's an absolute defensive master, so they're always going to be good in defence. So I think to score 20-odd points against them is still a really good result. So, yeah, I think that was the big key for me. It was a big thing I noticed. I think we got some more forward dominance. We really struggled in the first half to win any collisions. So that obviously helps Rafi as well when he comes on, that we've kind of got a bit more go forward. You've got people like Beaumont, Ash making metres. So that's important. But, yeah, the timing of that freshness, I think, is the if you had to pin it to one thing, I think that really, really was crucial. But yeah, I think we just broke them down, didn't we, eventually? And you can't do what they did for 80 minutes. So we have to be patient as fans and appreciate that. We said last week the expectations are high, so you just have to sort of go, right, okay, this is the Champions Cup. It's not going to be a walkover every week.
So you're right, we wore them down, and a big part of that was Manu Tuilagi coming back into the number 12 shirt. And James, what did you make of his comeback? Because, you know, bit of chat, you know, recently around sort of value for money. We're kind of going down that Lou Diaga path again, where Tuilagi is obviously a mercurial player. He's sort of one of a kind, but we're not seeing a lot of him. And, you know, we're in December, and it's the first time this year that we've seen him in a sales shirt. What did you make of his return to the team? And do you think it, you know, did it have a positive impact, or does it change the way that we play too significantly?
I think it changes the way we play probably in a good way, in a sense that, you know, in the last few weeks, especially against that Newcastle game, but we've been maybe kind of not committing enough defenders and that more narrow to create the space on the outside. And I do think that Manu delivers that for us. You know, right up top, he's no longer the X factor. It hasn't been for quite a long time, the X factor player that he was in his youth, where he was one of the world's X factor players. He's not in that camp anymore. He's back in the pack with everybody else. He's still England's first choice 12 and was in the World Cup and played the role that teams need their 12s in general to play better than the next option in the country. But there's no longer that gap. And it's probably the English system's problem that it's not found an alternative to Manu, rather than Manu is that much better, you know, he's a world-class player. But in this game, for Sale, I thought this was one of his best games in a Sale shirt. I thought the dynamism and energy that he brought to his play was exceptional. He got smashed in. By the way, you know, they were waiting for him and they lined him up and smashed him once and pushed him back. But even a couple of other times where they properly connected with double tackles or, you know, good tackles, he's still able to go that 1 yard over the gain line, give a target for his forwards to come round, quick ball then for the rest of the backs to operate off. And I think we've been accused, I think, in the past of maybe using him too much as a dummy runner. What I really, really liked here was almost like the simplicity of what we did at times. But then actually, we had a couple of plays. I think there was one off the back of the scrum where number 8 picked it up. Number 9 folded round the back, which you normally do to create an extra man on the outside, because you get your scrum half against the 10, et cetera, et cetera. And in theory, you've got a man on the outside. And then we have that switch ball back on the inside with Manu. And I really, really like that, because it's that kind of play we've normally used him as a dummy runner to fix another defender so you can do another pass out the back. And so you're just creating the space. But, you know, and I think we're looking ahead to the Leinster game here, who are just so brilliant defensively. They can come forward, but they hold their feet and then they fan out. You're not going to be getting round Leinster. It's just not going to happen unless you earn it. We're going to have to physically beat Leinster up front, which, you know, best of luck to you. But that is the only route to possible success. And so I really think that Manu, I thought, was exceptional.
So do you think this is like a precursor to that Leinster game then?
I think so. I think the way we played, you know, I think, you know, Leinster is still going to score loads of tries. So we're going to have to score some tries. We're going to have to be direct. We're going to have to commit defenders in as narrow as we can. You know, and even then, there's no easy route, I'm afraid, to winning in Dublin, people. We'll get to there in a little bit. But in short answer to your question, I thought Manu was exceptional and well played to him.
All right, we're already inching closer to chatting about that Leinster game. So before we move on, Alex, anything else from your perspective on this one to kind of wrap things up?
Yeah, I think there's some really good individual performances that are probably worth a mention. I mean, Sam Dugdale got man of the match on the official channels, so, and I think that was deserved. I think the work rate he put in, that hit in the 22 alone, probably deserved it. It was so well read. You know, you get credit for the physicality of the hit, but I think what you actually saw there is there was a break on, and he really came and shut that down first time with a fantastic hit on the receiver. So really impressive performance from him, especially given where our back row stocks at. That's important. I think, as we've talked about, Asher was outstanding again, showed exactly what he's been showing at Sale FC this season in terms of ability to scrimmage against much older, nastier, more experienced props. So that's important. And he's obviously got the sort of ability to play the ball in the loose that, you know, is vital for kind of the modern game. Ben Bamba as well in the second row, I thought had some really good moments and brought a lot of the physicality we needed. And I think once he kind of got a bit more confidence into the second half of the game, or, you know, got the ball in a few better areas, you could see he was, you know, physically dominating people, which is what he can do. It's just getting him into the game properly that we need to do. So up front, I think they were three really impressive performances, and Josh Beaumont as well, I think, deserves a massive shout out for, you know, really steady in the pack at eight. And I think looks a good option at eight. If, you know, we know that Dan Dupree has had injury troubles in the past, so if we've got Josh able to play there and able to play there well, then that's really helpful. In the backs, we've talked about most people in the backs, really. I think just a shout out to Sam James, who I think played really well. One of the three-way reviews was 13s of 13, and he did, I think, look like a top-level 13. And you know, it's the individual moments and that sort of pass, run, pass and draw and for the Tommy Flaherty try, I just thought was real quality. And, you know, it's easy to, he makes it look easy, but it's not. So I think he had a really good game, and we've seen that his form hasn't sort of dipped from being in and out of the squad as he has been, or in and out of the team, I should say. So that's encouraging. Could go on about everyone else, but yeah. I mean, Tom Curtis's kicking, by the way, has been like outstanding for Sale FC all season. And he came on and I thought, this is a tough kick. Like, this is not where you want to be starting, and absolutely nailed one from the touchline. So that's really important for him, and it'll keep him, you know, in and around the Sharks squad conversation. So that's very encouraging. But it's just really good to see. I think you've got three players I mentioned there in Asher, Ben Bamba and Curtis, who have really made that step up. I mean, you know, they were playing Nat 1 rugby a couple of weeks ago and they're playing Champions Cup rugby this week. It shows how sort of well we're able to manage them, and it's big credit to kind of all the academy staff and the staff at the club being able to manage them between those two things. But also, you know, how the standard of Nat 1 is, you know, they didn't, you know, when they play, they're not like, you know, it's not like watching Jason Robinson against 14-year-olds. Like, it's really competitive. So, yeah, it's very good to see, and I think positive for English rugby, but just a real, it's one of those weird things when you see them on that stage at that level against a team like that. It's very encouraging for Sale that we're still able to kind of develop those people and then bring them into the squad.
It's funny, isn't it? Just to touch on that very briefly, we don't seem to really be missing the lack of the Sale Jets program from 10, 15 years ago. You know, the sort of Premiership A League or whatever it was called has obviously fallen by the wayside and been replaced by this kind of, you know, loaning system or farm system. And it really does seem to be paying dividends at the moment. And look, I know the club is in a very different place. I know the facilities, the coaching staff, you know, everything has more money against it and therefore is going to be in a better space. But, you know, the through line that we have now between, you know, Sale FC or loaning the players out to Caldy or Fylde or wherever it is, and actually seeing those players be able to not just come through and, you know, occupy a spot in the matchday 23, but in, you know, in Asher or Ben Bamba's case, you really come through and make a difference, I think is, to your point, Alex, a really good sign for not just Sale, but for English rugby as a whole. And it almost seems to have happened by accident. When you think back to what we used to have as a development system. But with that all being said, you want to talk about development systems. The best one in the world is the Leinster to Ireland National Academy, as it appears to be. So James, look, we all know Leinster, right? That it's basically like playing the Irish national team, give or take. Do we have any chance of winning? Right, going away to Leinster against this Leinster team, who's been probably one of the best teams in the world for the last sort of decade. Is it possible? Do we dare to dream?
I think if we went there every game of the season, we might win one. So I think, and that's including every cup game, etc. So I there's a chance. Of course, there's a chance. It's a game of rugby. It's, you know, it's a cup competition. There's definitely a chance. I'd say 2 points of hope for us. I might be scraping the barrel just a little bit, but bear with me. For the purposes of the pod, hope number one, their eyes would have been fully on that La Rochelle game. Completely, 100%. Yeah. Not only with, you know, the history and the competition, but also the Ronan O'Gara connection. Full focus on that match. So winning away from home has been massive. But we know how difficult it is to pick yourself back up for another game at this level. It is just really, really difficult. And there's one team that will do it easily. It will be Leinster. But look, just bear with me. So that's point number one. Point number two is they have got a bit of a crisis at fly half. Ross Byrne is injured. Harry Byrne started at the weekend and went off injured. Looks like he's damaged his shoulder from falling from taking a high kick and tried to carry on, but just couldn't. Got taken off for about 60 minutes. I don't think you do that in that game unless you had to. I'd be very surprised to see him play against Sale. Unfortunately for us, they still then have two players to select from that are very high potential. So Kieran Frawley seems to be identified more as an inside centre. It's quite a big lag, but he's got a booming kick. He put one over against La Rochelle from virtually his own try line.
It's down officially 60 metres.
Officially 60 metres. I mean, but we're looking at the conditions, you know, especially if you know, when the weather gets good, he's going to be a frightening prospect, I think, in international rugby. He came through the system as a 10, but he's got, you know, he's got the size and physicality and the route into this side, really, with Sexton having been around for so long, has been maybe more in the centre. But you look at their centre options with Henshaw, Ringrose and Gatai as well. It's all a bit crazy. The other fly-off option they've got is Sam Prendergast, who is another big unit. He's about 6'4", 6'5", and was the captain of the Ireland under-20s in the summer and has had quite a few outings in the United Rugby Championship, actually, at the beginning of the season. So he's got some Leinster caps under his belt. We know the system that they play. He'll already be slotting straight into that. He's got the physicality to be playing at this level. So I wouldn't expect a huge drop-off. His big weakness is goal-kicking. But, of course, if Frawley's playing anyway, it doesn't really matter. I'd expect them to go with Frawley at 10 in this instance. But that means that Prendergast probably comes onto the bench. So I suppose my point is that, you know, they're right. They're, you know, Noah Sexton now, let's not forget. He was captain of the club for the last 4 or 5 years. You know, been absolutely essential to Leinster rugby. And Ross Byrne is the one that's played most games for Leinster. So you take those two out, there's no team in the world that's not going to feel that a little bit. You know, so that's hopefully an area where we can get a bit of a ride. Also, I think Tug Furlong is injured at the moment. So Alatoa played at tight head, who's, you know, he's really been a solid player for them for a while. We know Porter can move across, and they've got the young lad, Tom Clarkson, I think his name is, coming through the system. So they've got amazingness all over the field. When you bring in sort of one of Sheehan or Kelleher off the bench, I mean, he's just taking the piss, really, to be honest. Can they not spread the talent around just a little bit more? Like, it's just embarrassing. You've got, like, Caelan Dorris, like, doing spiral kicks from your 22. And, you know, you've got someone like Jimmy O'Brien, who for me looks like an outstanding fullback. I mean, like, outstanding, but can only just scrape into the team on the wing with James Lowe injured. And so, you know, look, it's a bit of a frightening prospect, but there are a couple of things there where I think if they don't turn up, you know, thinking maybe it's going to be a bit easy against Sale, I think we'll turn up and we'll give them a good go for 20, 30 minutes. And then I think times will get a bit tough for us. But you never know if we can be in it by 65-70. You just never know. Maybe a George Ford drop goal.
I mean, that's the exciting thing, right? If you're a Sale fan, there is the quality of player to really give this a go. You've got the likes of George Ford and Manu Tuilagi, who've played Ireland, you know, countless times. we do have good squad depth. We are seeing these players come through. The problem is, it's just that tier, that next tier role that we've spoken about for a few years. It's like going away to La Rochelle. It's going away to Luz. There is a, you know, probably three or four tiers of clubs in the Champions Cup. And we're probably maybe in that second tier, but it's the Leinsters who are the absolute cream of the crop, and it's going to be difficult to win. But to your point, James, not impossible. But I guess, Alex, from your perspective, yes, we've got Ford. Yes, we have Tua Lange. Yes, we have Rafi Kirk and Gus War. How do we approach this game? Because the reality is, and we've already seen this quite a lot, unfortunately, so far in this year's tournament, teams are going to have to make hard choices about which games to prioritise. How do we approach this one? Do we go back to the old days and, you know, send the lambs to slaughter, or do you go all out, see what happens, and then maybe worry about La Rochelle and the Stormers another day?
Well, I think you worry about Saracens at home on Friday the 22nd on a 6-day turnaround. And for that reason, I think the gentle rotation works again, but I think you rotate the people you didn't rotate last time. So, you know, Bamba keeps his place. Ash will obviously be in and around the squad, but players who we're going to need for that Saracens game to be fresh, I think, are probably going to need to be rested. I think Ben Curry is a big question mark. We need someone to lead this side, but do we need to rest Ben Curry? Because he is kind of, you know, it's not like we've got two of him, unfortunately, as we have had the luxury of having two incredibly good jacklers who play that kind of seven role for a long time. So there's a big question there for me. I think, you know, I would almost rather us gentle rotation again. You know, we've still got good quality throughout the squad. This isn't, you know, I'm not saying let's send out a team of academy kids. You know, there's positions where you can go again. You look at the wings, we've got Reed, who, you know, wasn't even in the match day 23. I don't think he's injured, unless I've missed something somewhere. So, you know, with O'Flaherty and Roebuck, Carpenter, you've got Sam James who can play fullback. I think Talusa Viana is pretty close to coming back. I think he was close for the Stade Français game, to be honest, and clearly didn't make it. So, you know, maybe we'll see him at 15 to give Carpenter a bit of a rest. Maybe we'll see a rotation on the wings. I thought Conor Dock had a good little cameo, you know, a couple of good runs. So maybe bring him in. So I think it's gentle rotation. And I think ultimately that is going to lead to the position where this is a relatively weakened side compared to the best one we could put out. But I don't think it's a wholesale put out all the kids, because then you're asking the first team that you want to play against, Saracens, really, to come into that game having not played together since, what, Harlequins, maybe Bath, and neither of those were great results to take into a home Saracens game. So, yeah, it's a real tough balancing act. I think if you go all guns blazing, that's a massive risk with Saris at home. If you go, you'll win nothing with kids, then you also have a massive risk of just disrupting momentum and taking a proper pasting. So yeah, for me it's gentle rotation again, and that'll get us probably a respectable performance. And, you know, I've no doubt that Leinster will be at pretty much full strength as they can do it, because they'll want to get this competition wrapped up. You know, they'll want to just win every game until they don't need to win a game anymore, and then they can rest and focus for the later stages. You know, make no mistake, this is their Everest. This is like everything that matters to them. You know, I think I was reading an interview with Will Addison the other day, actually, as a massive aside, at Ulster now, obviously, saying he didn't realise when he came over to Ulster how important Europe is for the Irish provinces. And it is. It's just the top 14 is irrelevant. If Leinster wanted to win the top 14 every year, they definitely could. But they don't, because this is everything to them. And their first game at home, they're going to be right up for it. It's going to be a very, very loud crowd and a very passionate one. And, you know, they're coming off a huge win away at La Rochelle and sort of avenging a few ghosts from last season. So
is it at the Aviva
or is it? No, it's at the RDS. Yeah. Which is, I don't know whether it's better or worse, to be honest. Mm. As a fan, I'm sort of happier it's at the RDS because I think it's a cool ground to go to, and I think the Aviva would feel big and empty and scary. But you know, it does mean that it's where they're pretty comfortable. I don't know. Maybe that's one thing to our advantage because it's not like going to a Twickenham and playing. You know, it's not a big occasion like it would be if it was at the Aviva. It's still a massive occasion, but it's almost feels like to them they've, as James rightly pointed out, they've had their big result, they've had their win, they've had their emotional high. Can they do it again? Get yourself up week after week. Now, we know that Leinster can because they've done it before. Can they do it without Sexton is kind of the question, isn't it? You know, can they do it if they want to rest James and Gibson Park? So I think for Sale, it's a huge challenge, but there is a 1%. There's a 1%. I think we'll know in the first 5 minutes. Put it like that. I think if Sale can compete in the first 5 minutes, then we've got a chance. I think if Leinster score, you know, it's not like we can do what we do in the Prem and give up a 16-point lead and pull it back. You know, that is going to be game over, and that's going to be me going to the bar for the Guinness for the rest of the game. But it's not as clear cut, I don't think. I think there's a few things playing into it with last week for Leinster. With, you know, depends what squad we pick, but I can see us competing, and I hope we do. But yeah, I honestly think that Sarri's at home is as important, if not more important, for us. And that's probably where the priorities will end up, isn't it? You know, Leinster want to win the European Cup. We want to win the Premiership, and you'll probably see that in the game.
I think that's a really good point. And with the games coming very thick and fast at the moment, those are the decisions that we are seeing teams have to make at the moment. So with all that being said, this, I guess our predictions are kind of twofold. We're kind of guessing what type of team Sale have put out and what we reckon the score will be. So James, those two things are obviously linked together. What's your score prediction for the weekend?
Leinster 36, Sale 17.
Respectable. Yeah, I think I had Leinster 36. Sale 16, actually. Very much in the same camp. And then Alex?
Sale
win, mate. You've got to do that.
Yeah, I've got to do it. I've got to do it, haven't I? I'm just debating by how many points.
Yeah.
I'll go for draw. 20-all.
20-all. All right, well, 20 Sale fans making the trip across the Irish Sea, like Alex. Enjoy. It'll be an amazing, amazing away day. This is the sort of away days you dream of. But a little bit closer to home to finish us off. Alex, what's been happening in Northwest Rugby?
It's been pretty good, actually. Obviously, Sale won, so that's always good. Sale FC with a 14-man, 8-7 victory at home to Bishop Stortford. It was 3-0 at half-time. Hell of a game.
That's proper rugby.
That's real rugby, yeah. None of your European flashy stuff.
Yeah, none of the fancy spiral kicks, just, yeah.
So, that's a good result for them. Sale Sharks women postponed away at Gloucester because of lack of medical support, which is a pretty frustrating result for both teams and for the league. It's just like so, you know, it's what that league needs to avoid doing. Filed no game, so can't get in trouble again this week. Lim drew 25-25 away at Billingham, which is a pretty good result given they made the step up this season. Preston Grasshoppers, a tough 7-34 loss at home to Rotherham. Preston Grasshoppers, by the way, if any fans listen, if you can explain to me why you cannot win at home, I would love to know, because all their wins have come away this season, which just feels a strange state of affairs. Sale FC 1861 women, a win 26-19 home to Buckingham Swans, which is a very good result for them. And I've ended up lost, sorry, Sedgley Park. I think it might be alphabetical. Sedgley Park lost 22-3 away to Plymouth, but they've had a really good start to the season. They've won like 6 of their first 9, so I'm not too worried. So, yeah, a decent weekend. I think, you know, one weekend it'll be everyone's won, but we're not quite there yet. So, yeah, a very strong weekend for Northwest Rugby, and hopefully we'll have a lot of teams up in that one and that two next season competing, and on the women's side as well. So, yeah, onwards and upwards to next week.
What a way to finish. All right, well, like I said, anyone going over to Dublin this weekend, have an amazing time. Alex, enjoy yourself. Thank you to everyone for listening. And we'll talk to you after what might be a famous victory or draw in Ireland on Saturday.